Good afternoon. Glad you all made it. Probably a couple had to turn around that come from that area that usually come to the Bible study. But welcome to this afternoon's Bible study. We're in the first book of Samuel. We're going to go through chapter 23 and 24. 23 and 24. I'll let you guys get there, and then we'll open in prayer. First book of Samuel, chapter 23. All right, let's go ahead. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name on this afternoon to go through your word, we ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you'd speak directly to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go through chapter 23. David saves the city of Keilah. Yeah, hey, you guys made it, right? Okay. No, that's all right. Yeah. There's about six or seven of you stuck in that. Yeah, they just got here too. You're good. Figured we'd wait a little bit. I figured you guys were probably stuck in that. Yeah, well, first book of Samuel, chapter 23. Now look at 23 and 24. All right, let's go through chapter 23. Verse 1 says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore,'" look at this verse right here. Good verse. "Therefore, David inquired of the Lord." I like that one. "David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go, attack the Philistines and save Keilah.' But David's men said to him, 'Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?'" Look at verse 4. David goes to the Lord again. It says, "Then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand.' And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." Let's stop here for a minute after verse 5. You notice right away, David inquires about the Lord. He's going to do this all throughout these next couple books. David was very successful because he always inquired with the Lord. He very rarely makes a decision without going to God first, right? You think God's speaking to us right here or what, right? Twice in five verses, David says, "I got to check with the Lord." Even when his friends were like, "I don't know, David," they were kind of afraid. That's okay. Let's go to the Lord again, right? That's great. David always going to the Lord, right? Dave received the word that the Philistines were attacking the city called Keilah. He asked God if he should take his men and defend the city, and the Lord says, "Yes, take it. I'm going to be with you. Go." Right? And God gave him the victory. Right? There's another lesson here for us to learn also, that if you make a decision on your own without God being involved, there goes the blessing, because God hasn't blessed it, right? That's called dead works in the book of Proverbs, okay? That's you making decisions for your life or your family or wherever you work or whatever. You're taking it upon yourself. I'm going to call the shots here instead of going to the Lord, right? Like Jesus tells us, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go to the Lord in prayer first. Get confirmation from the Lord that's in your heart. Like, yeah, I think God wants me to do this. You know, and ask God, send me a sign. You may have to pray a long time, you know. It's not going to be one of those things you're going to pray on Monday and you think Tuesday you're good to go, right? Like I said that, right? That's how we are, one and done. And one prayer, done. Come on, Lord. You know, but that's not how it works with God. You may have to pray for years before it's answered, right? But you keep asking in faith, right? What Jesus say? Keep knocking, keep asking. Keep knocking, keep asking. Don't ever think you're bothering the Lord. Like, oh, I know, Lord, you're probably so sick of me asking for this. It shows your faith in him. Anyway, let's pick up in verse 6. Now, what happened, it says in verse 6, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, we remember this from last week, when Abiathar took off to be with David, that he went down with the ephod in his hand, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand. That's what he thinks. For he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And verse 9 says, when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, he's crying out to the Lord again, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600. So last time we read, he had 400, right? Now he's got 600. A couple hundred guys have joined the army. They arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. Let's stop here for a minute. Again, three times David cries out to the Lord in 13 verses. Always in communication with the Lord. Always, right? Saul attempts to trap David in Keilah, as we read, right? After escaping the slaughter of the priest, we read that Abiathar, right, he ran to David at Keilah carrying the ephod, which is the priestly garment. Yeah, the priestly garment, the ephod. All right, when Saul found out David was in Keilah, he took his army to trap David inside the city. This city here is a city that has actual gates and fences around it and actually had a gate coming in, it sounds like, that would go all around the city of Keilah. Probably not many cities were like this, but this city was. It says that there was gates there, right? And it says that David took Abiathar. Remember, he's the priest. He's the great-grandson of Eli, right? He took his ephod and he asked the Lord for direction. Again, David asked the Lord for counsel. And God revealed to David that the people of Keilah would turn him over. So David's like, hey, I'm going to be here with these people. We're good. They're good with me. No, they're not. They're going to turn. God said, no, these guys who you think are on your side, they're going to turn you over. All right? So God told him that, and he remained in the city. So David took 600 men, it says, and they fled. So he's like, okay, Lord, thank you. They are going to turn me over. Let's go, boys. Okay? So let's pick up on. Pick up at verse 14, David in the wilderness stronghold. I'm going to just read right down to the end. These are two shorter chapters. Verse 14 says that David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. Boy, Saul not like David or what? After him. Every day. But God did not deliver him into his hand. Verse 15. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in a forest. And Jonathan, Saul's son arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, Do not fear, David, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. That's why I was after him. Verse 18 says, so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Verse 19 says, then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Verse 21 says, and Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Sounds like Saul met a friend. Verse 22, please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there. For I am told he is very crafty, that David. Sure is. Verse 23, see therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him through all the clans, all the families of Judah. Verse 24. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men went into the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul. I think God sent this messenger right here. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry, come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Stop searching for David. Let's go. Right? Therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Verse 29 says, then David went up from there and he dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. So let's talk about this. David went to Keilah, right, to the strongholds in the wilderness of Ziph, right? And Jonathan, here comes Jonathan, right? They said their byes before. We read about that. But now Jonathan's on the scene. He was probably with his father, and he was part of the army and was out there, and he seeked David out. And Jonathan told David, he said, do not fear, David, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. He's encouraging him, saying, You're going to be the next king. God's with you. He's pumping him up because David was probably really discouraged. He's had the king after him trying to kill him. He knows it. So he's been on the run for a while now. He's written a lot of psalms while he was on the run. And Jonathan comes and gives him a little pep talk. Hey, hang in there, David. The Lord's with you, right? And then it says that sometime after Jonathan returned to his house, the Ziphites, who lived near Horesh there, sent messengers to Saul to inform them that David was hiding in the land. So he's got some people that are with him because he's the king. He's probably trying to stay in cahoots with the king. He has different people saying, hey, David's here. David went there. You want to head over there? You know, little spies, right? And Saul took men and chased David in the wilderness of Maon, right? And David's army hurried to escape. And it says that at one point, Saul and his army were on one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side of the mountain. Yeah. Having a stare down. Right? But as Saul was closing in, this is it right here. You got to figure God's at work right here. Right? As Saul was closing into David, out of nowhere, here comes this messenger to tell him, hey, the Philistines are attacking, we better go. as he's getting close to David. Yeah, I think the Lord put that on his, whoever that was, heart. Go get Saul for me. You're getting too close to my servant, David. All right, Saul had no choice but to withdraw his men and fight the Philistines. And it says that David called that place the Rock of Escape. Yeah, David left Maon, and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. So just a couple of things here, a couple of notes before we go into that chapter that I wrote down I want to share with you. The main takeaway of this chapter, chapter 23, is about trusting God for guidance, okay? It's about trusting God for guidance while remaining faithful under pressure, especially when facing betrayal and danger, okay? So the takeaway here is stay faithful to the Lord. Get direction from the Lord. This is what David is doing, right? A few lessons here in this chapter for us is seek God's guidance before acting. That's a real good one, right? Seek God's guidance before acting, right? We like to act on things right away, right? We just do, this looks good, whatever, we're going to go with it. But never ask the Lord, Lord, is this right? Should I do this? Should I go here? Should I go down to First Baptist Church? I know you say they're lovely, but should I, Lord? Yeah, go, Sean. I got a lot of people down there. Okay, Lord. Yeah, thank you for being obedient. Yeah. David repeatedly asked God what to do before making a decision. You're going to see this a lot. Yeah. Each time God answered him too. Do you notice that? Each time God answered him. He'll answer you too. You just got to have patience and send you a sign or put it on your heart. Or you'll be like, yeah, I know that's from the Lord. You know? God answers prayers. Some just take longer than others. A takeaway from this also is when facing difficult choices, seek God's direction rather than relying on your own judgment. Yeah. Seek God's directions rather than relying on your own judgment. Right? We've all done that before. We made a judgment on something. It was wrong. Should have went left, but I went right. Oh, that cost me. Yeah, that's our flesh. Our flesh loves to do that. I'm calling the shots. Yeah, I got this one, Lord. I don't need you. Yeah, let's see how that works out for you. Right, another thing for you to, another lesson is God protects his purposes. Okay? God protects his purposes. Even though Saul is actively trying to kill David, David escapes again and again. The Lord's with him. Right? Saul almost catches him like we just read there, but circumstances intervene. Wonder who that's from. All right, takeaway, when God has a purpose for someone, okay, human opposition cannot stop it. If God is part of it, humans are not going to be able to stop it. He's going to accomplish his will, his purpose, his plan. If he wants you to go somewhere and he wants you to do something, he's going to make sure nobody's going to get in your way. You're going to be able to accomplish what he wants you to do. 3, loyalty and encouragement matter. David's friend Jonathan finds him and he strengthens him in God, right? Reminding him that David will become king. He says, the Lord's with you. You're going to be king. Just stick it out. Keep pressing forward, right? The takeaway from that is faithful friends who encourage your faith are extremely valuable during hard lessons, okay? What I mean by that, it is important for you to circle yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ who truly have your best interest, okay? Sometimes you may go get counsel from the outside world and everybody wants to give their opinion, but it isn't always the best. They may want to give you, encourage you to do something or give you guidance, but it's not always the best guidance, right? It's the Bible tells us to circle yourself around other believers, okay? Don't circle yourself around worldly people. Because guess what? You're going to act like them. Surround yourself with Christians. You're going to act like them, right? You ever hear that saying? I used to tell my kids in school, if you want to hang out with the dopes, you're going to be a dope, right? You want to hang out with the druggies, you're going to be a druggie. Yeah, right. Exactly. All right? Yeah, they got some good old sayings like that. But it's true. You are going to act like the people you hang out with, period. You want to hang out with some good godly people, not worldly people. We all have worldly people in our lives because not all of us, you know, are in Christ. But the point is, try to circle yourself around people who love God like you do. You know? And the other one I wanted to share with you, this other lesson here, people may betray you, but God won't. Okay? People may betray you, but God won't. Especially if you're seeking after his guidance. He's involved. He's not going to, right, leave you, forsake you. He's involved, right? Friends break promises. God doesn't, right? It's just the way it is. Even some of our best of friends, family, God won't. God said it. You can stand on it. So anyway, one sentence to wrap this up. Chapter 23 teaches those who seek God's guidance or remain faithful can trust him to guide them, protect them, and fulfill his plans, even when people turn against you. Even when people turn against you. Now, if you want, before we go into chapter 24, David wrote a short psalm. It only has 7 verses. If you want to hold your spot, go to Psalm 54. He wrote this during this time. We'll just go through it. It's only 7 verses. And we'll, oh no, this is a little longer. But let's see, 16. There's another one he wrote that's short. I'll just read through it because it's during this time we're reading about him. 54. He wrote this during this time that we're reading about. Psalm 54. See at the top of the psalm, right? Answered prayer for deliverance from adversaries to the chief magician with string instruments, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, "Is David not hiding with us?" That's what we just read about, right? I'll just read through it. You can listen or fall through. David wrote, "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good." Verse 7 says, "For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes has seen its desires upon my enemies, saying, My Lord is king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down." Right? Is that the same? Yeah. Is that the same one? No, wait a minute here. Did I screw up here? How many verses are in that psalm? Okay, so I was right then. Okay. So maybe I put these in wrong. Yeah, okay. So there was 7. Okay, well, we'll go back to chapter 24. I think I just changed these around. That didn't make sense to me either. I was seeing if you guys are paying attention. It's getting warm in here. Dozing off. You can cut that heat if you want. If you want to back that off of Frank, it's getting a little warm in here. Now I got to figure out where I had this here. I think we're going to go with this here. I must have been tired doing this. After you've been in the scriptures for 8 hours, you start to go cross-eyed. I think I got it. So it was right. There was only seven. All right, here we go. Switching around here. So yeah, that was a short psalm, but David wrote that while we were, what we're reading about, the Ziphites. All right. So let's go ahead. We'll jump right into chapter 24. All right, I think I'm back on the saddle here. Chapter 24. Let's go through this. This is a pretty short chapter, but there's a lot to talk about after this. So I'm just going to read right through this whole chapter, okay? There's only 22 verses. It says in verse 24, this is when David spares Saul, okay? Spares him and not kill him. Spares his life. Okay, it says verse 1. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men from Israel and went to seek David. He's been really after David, right? And his men on the rocks of the wild goats. Verse 3 says, so he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. Sounds like he went to the bathroom, right? David and his men were staying in the cave, recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. So David's men are saying, telling David, here we go. Got to kill Saul right here. Here's your chance. See what David does. And David arose secretly, cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. He's giving him respect because he was the king. To stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. Could have killed him, right? But he didn't. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down, still giving him respect because he's the king. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. Right? In other words, I could have killed you. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, lower L, right? For he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father sees. Yes, see, the corner of your robe is in my hand. That's how close he got to him, right? For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Verse 12, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from wicked. That's a good proverb. But my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog, a flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He had a little mercy in his heart. Verse 17, then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. Verse 19 says, for if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. And David swore to Saul. And Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Let's talk about this. David took the high road, huh? Could have took him right out. Could have took him right out. Yeah. David, right? Spares Saul in the cave. Right? Saul received the news that David was hiding in the wilderness. He took 3,000 men with him to go get David and kill him. Up in the Wild Goats Rocks, all the caves and all the rocks in this area was probably pretty desolate, like a desert. And while searching, Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, right? But he wasn't aware that David and his men were hiding in back of the cave. He didn't even know it. He went in, go to the bathroom. There's David and them are right there. David's and did you notice David's men said, take him out, right? They were all behind him. Here he is. The Lord's delivered him into your hands. Now, listen, David never got confirmation of that. He's going off of what men say. Right? The men say, kill him. He's like, no, God hasn't told me to do that. I'm not going to do it. And he felt bad about it, too, because he still had a lot of respect for Saul being the king. He calls him the anointed one because he was king. He became king. Yeah. Instead, he snuck up on Saul and he cut a piece of his robe off to let him know that's how close I could have taken you out, right? He let Saul know, I could have taken you out. I mean, I cut your robe, or you were going to the bathroom, or whatever he was doing, right? Right. Saul was completely unaware of his surroundings. Yeah. And David followed the king out, called to him, and he bowed down. And David bowed down to him to give him respect. This is a man who's been chasing him to kill him. He still gives him respect and he even bowed down to him. He wants Saul to come to his senses, right? And say, hey, listen, you know, we're on the same team here. But Saul didn't have it in him, right? He showed that piece of robe to him as evidence that he could have killed him that day, right? When he had the opportunity. And David appealed to God to judge, right? Did you notice that? David, he appealed to God to judge between Saul and him. He says, let's let God be the judge here. Right? Again, he's leaving things in God's hands, right? And God is blessing him. He's watching over him, right? But here's the interesting part. As soon as David finished speaking to him, Saul's hard heart actually softens for a little bit, not for long. But his heart was softened there. We're not used to seeing that in the scriptures from this guy. Right? He's probably, because he knows, I would have been dead man right there. He admitted, too, that David was more righteous than him, and that he had repaid him for good. You know, he was good to him, knowing that Saul has been evil. And Saul even confessed. He told David, he goes, I know the Lord's with you. You're going to be king. He knows it. And that was the reason why he was after him too, because of jealousy and pride. He thought it was his kingdom. It's God's kingdom. But he thought this kingdom was his, right? It's kind of like our church. This ain't our church. This is God's house, right? We're fortunate to be part of it. But this is the Lord's house. And we got to view it as such. And Saul, unfortunately, you know, I'll tell you, just bring this up. I've been to other churches. You go to churches and there's people there, they want you to know, hey, this is my church. You ain't doing anything here without me. Okay? You come to me. You don't make a move. Right? You know people like that from other churches. They like own the church. That's bad. And that's bad in the sight of the Lord. This is his house. But they're our lot. I've dealt with that at my last church. There was a couple there. They thought they owned everything. And man, you couldn't do nothing without running it by a man, or you were dead. Right? It's bad. It's not good. It's not healthy. Right? It's not healthy. That's what I like here at our church. We all get together. We talk about it before we make a decision. We go to the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do? This is what we're thinking. It's probably going to be wrong, so let's go with you. Right? All our meetings we have, these trustees meetings, these deacons meetings, they're important that we're all on the same page. And all the member voting, right? Everybody's got a piece in the pie here, you know, got to say. That's got to be like that. And if you ever visit a church and they start telling you stuff like that, this is how we always done it, you're going to do it my way, find another church. Find another church. The Holy Spirit is not there. They're trying to run it, not the Holy Spirit. Anyway, the main takeaway from chapter 24 is choosing righteousness and restraint, even when you have a chance for revenge. How about that one? We've all struggled with that one, right? Let me just read it again if you want to write it down. Choosing righteousness and restraint even when you have a chance for revenge. Right? What's the Lord say? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Give it to me. Give it to the Lord, right? Because I can tell everybody that in communion. Every communion. Give it to the Lord. Why are you living with that? I mean, well, been there. I used to be like that too. Yeah, before I came to Christ, oh yeah, I had all kinds of grudges. I had a list going. God, take this guy out. Take this guy out. I don't like these people either. Then I came to Christ. He says, no, you forgive them all. How about that, Sean? I go, I don't really want to do that, Lord. But okay, you forgave me. I'll forgive them. Right? I meet with people at the church who are still struggling with this. I know you say I'm not ready to stand before Jesus Christ if I haven't forgiven everyone, Sean, but oh, I got this one guy. I say, you got to let it go. Got to let it go. Or you are not ready to stand before Jesus. Not worth it. So a few lessons here to wrap this up. Lesson here, I got four of them I want to share with you. First one, respect for God's authority. Okay, respect for God's authority. David refuses to harm Saul because Saul is still the Lord's anointed. He's still respecting him. Okay? Even when leaders are flawed, David shows deep respect for God's order and timing. Number two, leave justice to God, just like I was just saying. David says that God will judge between you and me, right? Rather than taking revenge for himself, right? Not every wrong needs to be personally avenged. Not any of them do, right? Let God handle it. I guarantee God will handle a lot better than you will or me. God, why don't you handle the situation? Because I know if I try, I'm going to screw it right up. It's going to be worse than before. And number three, character is revealed in moments of power. Okay, character is revealed in moments of power. David had the perfect chance to eliminate Saul, but he chose mercy. That's hard to do. That's why we pray, Lord, help me. Give love like you, grace like you, mercy. Help me be merciful like you. That's what I was looking for. Help me be merciful like you, Lord. You know? My true integrity shows when you can't retaliate, but choose not to. And four, mercy can soften hearts. All right? When Saul sees David's spared his life. He moved to tears, right? He acknowledges David's righteousness. Softened his heart, as we read. It wasn't for long, right? But at that time. So chapter 24 teaches that godly character means trusting God's timing and choosing mercy instead of revenge. That's a tough one. That's a tough one, right? Choosing mercy than revenge, right? Even when you have the power to strike back, David could have done it. He's right there. Could have killed him. But he didn't. He chose mercy. Yeah. So anyway, I know it's getting late here. You can read these on your own if you want. There's two psalms from David that he wrote during this time. I'll give them to you. You can read them on your own. So we're going to wrap it up here. Psalm 57 was during this time. And Psalm 142. Right, because Psalms aren't necessarily in order. 142. Yeah. Psalm 57 is about this exact thing we're talking about when David fled from Saul into the cave. Yeah. So, yeah, that ends chapter 22 and 23 and 24. While we go ahead, we'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us on this afternoon as we gathered in Jesus' name to hear your word. We thank you, Lord, for all of this. And Lord, we just thank you for speaking to us about going to you with every decision. That we would not make a move unless we go to you first. And it may take us many days, Lord, because we know we're on your time and your terms. So, Lord, please help us with this as well. In Jesus' name, amen.